Turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Last week I preached on Jesus healing a man at the pool of Bethesda. And after he healed the man at the pool of Bethesda, he got accusations thrown at him. So let's go to John chapter 5, verse 8. Jesus saith unto him, Take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath day. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And Jesus answered them, the man that was made whole. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now understand that Jesus Christ did not break the law. Jesus Christ lived a sinless, perfect, holy life. There are two main types of Judaism today. There's rabbinic Judaism, and then there's Kairite Jews. Kairite Jews are the ones that trust the Old Testament. Most of the time, if you talk to a Kairite Jew long enough, you could witness to them and win them to the Lord. But a rabbinic Jew are the descendants, basically, of the Pharisees. They believed in a oral law that was beside the Scriptures. They added to the Word of God. They believed that Moses did not just get the law, but he had an oral law given to him, and it was passed down from generation to generation to generations. And they judged Christ on the oral law, and not the written law. And the oral law was a bunch of traditions that was really made up. They just said that it was passed down from Moses to give it some credibility. So that oral law is today known as the Talmud. If you go into a Jewish synagogue of rabbinic Jews today, they base what they believe not on the Old Testament, but the Talmud. But the Talmud is what they compiled into writings as what they called the oral law. But the oral law we know as Christians is illegitimate. It was things that they add, traditions that they added to the Word of God. And we know what happens if somebody adds to the Word of God, right? Go to Matthew chapter 15, and the Lord rebukes them for holding that law, that oral law, or man's opinions against the Word of God. Matthew 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" He rebukes them for adding to the Word of God. They added tradition to the Old Testament. So he rebukes them for that. They used an uninspired standard against Jesus whenever they said that he broke the law. Let's go to back to our text in John chapter 5. Let's look at verse 17 once again. We read in Matthew 15 how he rebukes them for adding tradition to the Word of God. But here he doesn't do that. He says, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." So the Lord brings up his relation with the Father and the works that he did in the Father's name. Healing people, for example. He healed an impotent man. That was a work of God, was it not? And he brings that up. Let's look at verse 19. "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son could do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." So he brings up judgment now. They were casting judgment on him, so he brings up judgment back to them. "And that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." So we brought up the works that he did that is better than their tradition. Let's look at verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." So a few verses ago, he brings up the works that he did, the miracles that he did. Now he puts a higher standard than he puts another high standard against them, his word. His word. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." The law was the word of God, was it not? But this was talking about his words that he was teaching, about him coming to earth to die on the cross, right? His word is a higher standard than any tradition that man could ever give, right? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The Lord had two common accusers, the scribes and the Pharisees, and also the Sadducees. He brings up the Word of God to the Pharisees because they were adding tradition to the Word of God. And he gives them the authority of the Word of God. And he brings up the resurrection to the Sadducees who did not believe in the resurrection. Let's look at verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. He's going to judge the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees for rejecting him. Can I warn you today that he is going to judge you if you reject him as well? And a lot of people give reason after reason why they don't want to be a Christian today. Reason after reason. Well, they believe this or they believe that. The title of this message is The Witnesses of Christ. The Witnesses of Christ. There are many witnesses of Christ that the Lord mentions here. Let's look at verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. He brings up the law. He brings up the Father. He brings up the Son. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall all be established. Amen? Amen. Let's look at verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, that ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. So the first point that I want to make is the witness of the prophets. John is mentioned in this context, so he is one of the prophets. Amen? The witness of the prophets. John in particular. Let's go to John chapter 1. Verse 26. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He's talking about Jesus. He it is whom cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He bore witness unto Jesus Christ. Amen? This is he whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. He acknowledges his eternal state. And I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. He bore witness that Jesus was the Son of God. And again, the next day, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. John bore witness unto him. Remember earlier that Jesus told them of the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. John preached unto them that Jesus will call all to the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. Go with me to Matthew chapter 3. Verse 11. John the Baptist is speaking. Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You know what that means? He has the power to save your soul or has power to send you to hell. Baptism of the Holy Ghost happened to you whenever you accepted Christ as your Savior. Whenever you believed the gospel and accepted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt you. The Holy Spirit baptized you, immersed yourself in Him. And the baptism with fire talks about the great white throne judgment. After the great white throne judgment, they're going to be sent to a lake of fire. They're going to be immersed in fire. He has the power to save your soul, and He has the power to condemn you to hell. But He came not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Y'all are in Matthew, so let's go to Matthew chapter 11. We read earlier that the Bible says that he received not testimony from man, though. Why? Because man's not perfect. John the Baptist was not perfect. Look at Matthew chapter 11. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? He was questioning some things. While he was out of prison, he was saying, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. But then he found himself in prison. He got depressed, and he was questioning everything. He's a man just like you and me. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So the Lord did not condemn him for his doubts and questions. The Lord will not condemn you for your questions as long as you're honest about it. But man's not perfect, and John the Baptist was a man just like you and me. So that's the reason why he does not receive witness of men. But you cannot deny that John the Baptist, among the prophets, bore witness of Jesus Christ. They testified of Jesus Christ and said, Behold, the Lamb of God. My second point I want to make is the witness of the works of Christ. y'all are in Matthew 11. Let's look at verse 4 one more time. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them." Those are some mighty works. Only a man of God can do such things. Amen? Amen. Jesus healed people by touching them. He not only healed people by touching them, He spoke the word and they were healed. He was not just any ordinary man. Let's go to John chapter 5 once again. Back to our text. John chapter 5. Verse 36. "But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath seen me." So the works, the miracles that Jesus did, bore witness of Him. Let's go back a couple pages to John chapter 3. Even Nicodemus saw this. John chapter 3, verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God." From God. "For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." So the miracles that Jesus did bore witness that He was the Son of God. Let's go to John chapter 10, just a couple pages forward. John chapter 10, verse 25. "Jesus answered them, I told you and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Turn a couple pages more to John chapter 15. Verse 24. John 15, 24. "If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." They saw the miracles that He did, and they said that He does these miracles by the power of Beelzebub, the devil. How could somebody look at Jesus Christ and say He was of the devil? But the works that He did, the miracles that He did, bore witness of who He was. There's also the witness of the Holy Spirit. Y'all are in John chapter 15. Let's look at verse 26, the very next verse. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me." The Holy Spirit will witness and bear record that He is the Son of God. Go to John chapter 14, just a page back. John 14, verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you, with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Let's look at verse 26, same chapter. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Let's go to John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit will always point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all are in John. Let's go back to John chapter 30, John chapter 1, verse 32. John 1, 32. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. Whenever John baptized the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and descended on him. The Holy Spirit pointed that he was the Son of God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3 once again. Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. The Holy Spirit bore record at his baptism that he was the Son of God. Not only did the Holy Spirit bear record of him, but also the Father himself. God the Father bore record that Jesus is his Son. Let's look at the very next verse. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father bore record that he is his Son. Let's go back to John chapter 5 once again. Verse 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Not only do you have the witness of the Father, but the witness of the Scriptures that bear record of Jesus Christ. Let's continue reading. Search the Scriptures. For in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. They were a bunch of hypocrites. They received anybody that said that they came in the name of God, but whenever the very Son of God came, they rejected him. I'm come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Moses' writings. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. The Scriptures bear record of Jesus Christ. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Not only do the Scriptures bear record of Jesus Christ, but creation bears record of Jesus Christ. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 19. Verse 18 for context. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. He created all things, did He not? Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Anybody who observes creation is without excuse. Anybody who observes creation ought to come to the conclusion that there is a creator. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." Jesus was present at creation with the Father. Creation in itself bears record that Jesus Christ is the Son of God according to the Scriptures. Not only the witness of creation, but the witness of the church. Go back with John 15. John chapter 15, verse 27. We may go back a few verses for context. John 15, we'll start in verse 25 for context. "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, that they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me." We read that earlier in proof that the Holy Spirit will testify of Him. But we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, amen? Let's look at the next verse. "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." The church will bear record and witness that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is our message to preach to people. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived a sinless, perfect life and died on the cross for you and me. And He rose from the grave. That is our message. That is what we're commissioned to preach and teach as a church. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. "When they, therefore, were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And He saith unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." In fact, that is the very outline of the book of Acts. It starts in Jerusalem and expands into Judea, then later in Samaria, and then when after Paul, all the ends of the earth. That is the very outline of the book of Acts. But the church is called to be a witness of Christ. We are to share Jesus with others and tell others about what Jesus did for us. Amen? Amen? And whenever I was writing this outline, I was in my study writing this outline out. This was not intentional. I said, I was counting out all the points in this outline. There are 7 witnesses in this sermon. The witness of the prophets, the witness of the work of Christ, the witness of the Holy Spirit, the witness of the Father, the witness of the Scriptures, the witness of creation, and the witness of the church. 7 is the number of completion and perfection. It's funny how the Lord works things out like that. And at the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses shall all be established, and there are 7. Any person that dies without Christ and goes to hell, they are without excuse because they have seen the record of the Scriptures and the prophets. They have seen the record of the works of Jesus Christ. There's the record of the Holy Spirit. Whenever a person is under conviction, the Holy Spirit draws them. He convicts them. There's the witness of the Father. There's the witness of the Scriptures. There's the witness of creation and the witness of the church. Anybody who goes to hell is without excuse. And if you're in here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you are without excuse. You can be saved today. Jesus said, if any man come to me, I will in no wise cast him out. That is a promise. He will accept anybody who will come to him and believe on him as their crucified, buried, and risen Savior. Maybe you're in here today and have never trusted him. I invite you to come. Maybe you're in here today and you want to be a better witness. I invite you to come. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And after this prayer, that's your cue to come. Dear Heavenly Father, I've given the word, and I just pray, Lord, that you be glorified in your word. Bless this service in Jesus' name. Bless everybody here in Jesus' name. Amen.